welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Lord Jesus, you are the King of glory. There's truly no one and nothing like you. Lord, you are above all powers and principalities, seated at the right hand side of the Father as our high priest and advocate. And today, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the grace that you pour out over us as a country. We thank you for the mighty hand of God that rests sovereignly above us. We thank you for your every will and your every desire for us. We pray blessing over our government. Lord Jesus, may you go with each and every one of them. May you turn our hearts as a country towards the government. May you turn their hearts back towards us. May you unite us that we may be one. That we may be what you desire us to be. Lord, we thank you just for your sovereign hand over all the fear, all the uncertainty, all the striving that is going on in this land. Thank you, Father, just for an outpouring of your love, that relentless heart of love that's there for everyone. We pray, Lord, that many will come to see your desire for us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that many will come to see you, the real Jesus. We thank you for salvation in this time. We thank you for lives that will be transformed for the glory of the kingdom. We praise you, Lord, as so many rightfully take up their place. They be who they are destined to be through the eyes of God. So we thank you for your blessing that rests over us as a country. May your Spirit pour down on us. May we be acceptable to you. May what comes and flows from us be like a sweet-smelling incense unto you, Lord. We thank you for a new season, a new period in our lives. Thank you for redemption, Lord. We thank you for new beginnings and a new start. An opportunity to do this once more and to do it right. Lord Jesus, you are far above anything of this world. Not by our strength, by yours. May we be perfect and acceptable in your sight. That is our heart's desire. This evening we praise you. We glorify you. All in your mighty name. Amen. Can I ask the ushers to pass the offering baskets around, please? And while you all getting seats and little monkeys is flowing, I'm going to ask Pastor Alistair Kingwell from Bloemfontein to come up to the stage. We will just get everyone's focus on you, Alistair. Alistair, man, what a man. Eh? Many of you know him. He's been involved with Shofar Pretoria for quite some time until moving on to greener pastures. Supposedly there where the cheetahs are, the pastures are greener. So Bloemfontein is his home now, but what a privilege to have him back in Pretoria tonight. I'm so expecting to hear what the Lord has placed on your heart, Alistair. Coming home, in that light, I want to say to you, welcome home. Have a phenomenal evening.
Amen. Thank you, Sean. Am I on? Can you hear? Are you excited tonight? It's wonderful to be with you. So many familiar faces, but also so many unfamiliar ones. It's wonderful to see what God is doing and what he's been doing in these last 3 years. I cannot believe it's been 3 years, people, since we left. 3 years. In 2011, it was sick at eight, you know, to move to, I don't know if it's greener pastures necessarily in the winter. I think Pretoria is much greener in the winter than Bloemfontein, but we braai throughout the year there, lots of meat. Okay. I wouldn't say I'm representing the cheetahs tonight, so let's rather call this a shofar shirt, okay? I don't want to speak about the cheetahs right now, okay? Praise the Lord, we can speak about Jesus tonight, okay? Well done to the stormers yesterday, and to the Bulls. It's awesome to see the Bulls back, okay? But we're not here to talk about rugby this evening, so praise the Lord for that. It's wonderful to be here. Greetings from the family in Bloemfontein, and I want to say greetings to you, family. We're family tonight, amen? So God is doing amazing stuff with us. He's really stirring our hearts for the prophetic and just for more of His presence and more of His goodness and more of His kingdom in that city. We really need it there. The kingdom must come all over this nation, as Sean's just prayed. So we are laboring for God and for His kingdom in Bloemfontein. So greetings, and really I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm really just excited for what God wants to do this morning. He really moved in Johannesburg. It's a privilege to preach there this morning. So I'm excited for tonight. But before we do that, let's just open in prayer and just commit the word to the Lord, because His word is powerful. Amen. So let's just bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing your good news tonight. And thank you for the power of the gospel, the power of what you did on the cross. And we praise you for time in your presence. We open our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I just commit every word of my mouth and every thought, Lord, to you. And we thank you that you'll be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was in Lesotho a couple of weeks ago on an outreach, and we went from door to door, and we connected with the people there, and it was so amazing, just the opportunities God gave us. And the one day, we were between one house and the next house, the little villages there, and there was a path, and a man was walking along this path, and we were moving from the one family to the next, and yeah, in between there was this path, and we had a divine appointment with this man who was on his way to work. So he was quite busy and in a hurry, and he didn't have lots of time with us, but he had time to chat to us, and we started to speak to him and ask him how his life is and how his family is. And he said things were rough in his house. There wasn't peace there, and there was a lot of fear and a lot of, you know, struggles, and just not relationships didn't connect properly. And then I really felt the Lord saying to me, I must just ask him, you know, how was his grandfather? Did he know his grandfather? Is his grandfather still alive? And he said, you know, his grandfather died when he was 15 years old, and so I didn't know him that well. And then I said to him, but what about your dad? How's your dad? I just sense that your dad's this very dominating personality, and he's brought sort of a lot of, you know, very much kind of this autocratic thing into your life, into your house, and there's a lot of tension because of that. And I said that to him, and I could see that he, obviously we worked through the translator, so I could see him when the translator spoke, he was like, the light sort of came on, and he kind of identified with what I was saying and said, yeah, it is like that. And I sensed that he was quite a gentle spirit and a guy who was really not in that same mold as his father. And so it must have been quite tough for him just to submit and just to do whatever his dad says. And I said to him, I sense that God wants to change that in your life and in your family. He wants to release and just destroy that spirit that came through your grandfather and was in your father or is in your father and could be passed on to you. But I sense you're the generation that God wants to stop this. And at the time, the Lord started to speak to me about the generations coming together, the hearts of the fathers turning to the children, the children to the fathers. And it's really something that's been on my heart this while, and it's really something that I've been speaking about back there in Bloemfontein, because I believe God wants to do this in our midst. He wants to bring back the father heart to us as his children. He wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Because look at what Malachi 4, verse 6 says. It says that, this is now the last verse in the Old Testament. Now, praise the Lord that the Old Testament wasn't the last book written, okay? Because the last word in the Old Testament, look up there, is what? Curse. I will strike the earth with a curse unless hearts of the fathers turn to the children, hearts of the children turn to the fathers. And so I believe this evening, I just want to go back to a story which is very familiar to all of us, because I want to say this evening, we are products of the generation that went before us, amen? Whether we like it or not, whether we had good relationships with the generations before us, we are products of that which went before us. And so, I believe God wants to restore the fatherless generation, because we are living in a fatherless generation. That's why our country is like it is. That's why things don't always happen like they should happen, because there's fatherless people. And I read a story about in Australia just at the beginning of the year, an 11-year-old boy was beaten to death by his father with a cricket bat just after cricket practice. I mean, that's like, you know, you just wonder what went wrong there. You know, what, this guy was obviously mad. He lost his mind. But what went wrong? And you read so many situations of just fathers who are not there, or who are there, but they're not really there. And this evening, I just want to talk about coming home. I want to read a story which is so familiar to all of us, but I just want to highlight it again, because I believe it's something that we can't just preach once and leave it like that. We always need to be reminded of the heart of God for us and for us as His children, and how we often relate to Him as a father. So this is the story of the prodigal son, and I love to tell the story to my son. My son is 3.5 years old, and he loves to hear stories now. We're telling him about, you know, Noah and Adam and Eve and Joseph and his multicolored dream coat. And then we come to the New Testament and we talk about the lost sheep and the lost son. And he wants to hear about this prodigal son, because I'm trying to tell him he mustn't be so jealous of his younger sister, you know. And he's got another brother on his way. So he as the older brother, cannot be jealous. He's got to relate to the father in the proper way. So I love to tell him the story. In fact, now, Hester is pregnant with our third child, and now before we knew it was a boy or girl, so yes, praise the Lord for multiplication. Thank you, Jesus. We have to multiply and fill the earth. Sean is following good suit, I'm glad. I see things are happening in Pretoria. It's also fruitful ground here. Philip and Janetta as well, it's wonderful. They're also just filling the children's church. Okay, we've got to somehow from the inside build the kids' church, so praise the Lord for marriage seminars, and yeah, things are going to happen in Pretoria. Okay, there's some, but anyway. So, I'm telling him, he's now, he doesn't know now, we don't know, is it going to be a son or a daughter? And he just says, you know, Mama, ek kan nie nog 'n sissie hê nie. Ek wil nie nog 'n sissie hê nie. Hierdie is 'n boetie. And so he prophesied that this is a brother. So he's getting a brother. But anyway, God obviously answered his prayers, because he just said, I cannot have another sister. But anyway, him and his sister will get on one day, okay? But I tell him the story, and it's just amazing. I love to tell the story, and I love to read the story again. And so tonight, let's just read through the story, and I want to highlight a few things that I believe God wants to speak to us about tonight. Jesus speaking, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And so he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he arose and he came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck, and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost. Found. Story of two sons. In effect, it's actually three sons. I'll show you now why I say that. But I believe many of us relate to the father in some or other way. We either relate and default back to the way of rebellion, the younger son, or we default towards the way of the older brother, represented by religion. And so let's look at, first of all, the younger son. And I want you tonight to really search your heart and say, God, am I not tending towards one of these sons in your house? And especially, I'm talking to believers here. I'm talking to people who are in the Father's house. It's not necessarily, it's always obviously still talking to people who are outside, but this is mainly talking to people who are in the Father's house, supposed to be in the Father's house. And the first one is the younger son. And let's see, the younger son, he decided, listen, yeah, he had the boldness to at least ask for his inheritance. And his father almost honored that and said, listen, I'm glad you asked because I've got so much for you. So yeah, take it. But it wasn't to glorify his father. It wasn't to serve his father's purposes. It was for his own purpose. And he said, give me, Father, because I want to go on my own mission. This business of being in your house, being with you, is not so, I'm going to miss out. So I want to do things my way. And it was all about self. All about give me, give me, give me. What do I want? The typical younger son, the typical rebellious son. And he seemed to always want to do his own thing. He was like, Father, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm going my own way. I'm going to a far country. I'm going far away. I want to go overseas. I want to go as far away as possible from you because I just think I'm going to be boxed in this house. This is like going to cramp my style kind of thing. And you know, I as a son of two or one of the two sons, I can't identify necessarily with this guy. I can identify with the older son because I'm one of two. I'm the eldest son of two in my house. But maybe some of you can relate, and my brother, I believe, can relate to this. Typical younger brother, rebelling, disobedience to authority, running off, doing his own thing. Not really wanting to be in his house. And praise the Lord, he's back. He's obviously farming now, and he's the head of the house. My dad's, in a way, working for him now, and they've got a great relationship. But he was more the typical younger brother one, the typical rebellious one. Thought he knew better. Feared he would miss out, you know. So let's go on this adventure because the adventure is not going to happen here in my father's house. So I'll rather do my own thing. I'll rather go to some faraway place and just rebel because it's nice to sin sometimes, you know. It's nice to disobey because our natures are sinful. We are born in sin and we are born as sinful, rebellious people. So it's nice sometimes to disobey what the Father wants. So that's the youngest son, represented by rebellion. Then you get to the older son, the second one. And he had a totally different way that he related to the father. He was all about, am I going to make it in my father's house? I just need to work all the time. And it's interesting to, whereas the younger son was found out there in a far country somewhere, the older son, where was he found? He wasn't really in the father's house. He was out in the field. He was working all the time, slaving away, always doing what he needed to do. But out of a place of insecurity. Wanting to prove himself, always unsure about whether his father really loved him, whether his father really accepted him. Always working, always slaving away. Didn't feel any freedom. It's interesting to note that he didn't ask the father what's happening here when he heard the music and the dancing. No, no, he went to a servant. He asked one of the slaves, listen here, what's happening? Didn't have the freedom to communicate with his father. Wasn't open to relationship with his father. Then he was obviously very jealous. I mean, imagine you are the older brother and you are slaving away to feed this calf, to get this huge calf or the small calf huge, okay? To get this calf fat and then this fatted calf gets given to your younger brother who's been all rebellious. Wouldn't you also feel a little bit done in by? And now he's jealous and he says, Father, I can't believe it. I've been feeding the sucker all day and yeah, you give it to the younger brother who's messed up his life. Jealous of his younger brother. Could not celebrate anything. Ultimately, what his fear was that he wasn't good enough. He didn't even ask for his inheritance. All he wanted was a skinny little goat to go and party with his friends. Didn't want to celebrate with his father. Wanted to party with his friends. So the first one had fear in his life. The first one feared he was going to miss out. He feared he was going to be boxed in and his style was going to be cramped a bit. The older one feared that his father didn't love him. He feared he wasn't good enough. He feared he wasn't going to make it. And so for both sons, there was a breakdown in communication with the father, amen? There was a breakdown in relationship, a breakdown in trust. But yet the father's heart remained the same. And you see, I believe what the Lord showed us in intercession in our church is that there's something called the orphan spirit, which both sons are represented by. Both sons have this orphan spirit in them. And now sometimes it manifests in rebellion, sometimes in religion or slavery. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's an orphan spirit. And so tonight I just want to look at 10 things. And I want you to search your heart and look at maybe, and if some of us have got all 10 of these things, then praise the Lord, we are to pray for you. But even if there's one or two things here, just say to the Lord, isn't this thing holding me back from freedom with you? And many times it's in church. It manifests in church. Because we're serving God, but many times we're not serving Him out of a place of sonship, out of a place of adoption. And we'll look at that now. We'll look at how to become an adopted son. But first of all, let's look at these 10 things. First of all, the orphan, and I'll just call it the orphan, okay? But this is the spirit that's upon us, the orphan spirit, struggles to love himself or herself and at the same time to love others because he didn't grow up with the knowledge of the Father's unconditional love for him. As opposed to that, the adopted one, and this is where we all want to be. We want to be the adopted son. So I'm going to look at the orphan, and I've put that up there, but I didn't put the adoption up there. I'll just read that to you, so listen. So the orphan struggles to love, whereas the adopted loves himself. The adopted is secure in his father's love for him, and he disregards any thought that he knows his father is not thinking about him. Number two, the orphan struggles to take responsibility, whereas on the other hand, the adopted shows himself faithful and stewards what God has given him. Number three, the orphan has fits of uncontrollable anger and throws tantrums whenever things do not go his or her way, often initiated by rebellion. The orphan often initiates rebellion. On the other hand, the adopted is selfless and gracious towards others, submitting to authority, knowing it has been placed over him by his father. And he honors people around him. The adopted trusts his father and distributes peace to the environment that he finds himself in. As opposed to the orphan who initiates rebellion, the adopted initiates mediation. Number four, the orphan walks in insecurity, whereas the adopted walks in authority. The orphan is career-driven and obsessed, and his identity lies in his status and titles, and in often what others think about him. And I can identify with this. You know, I used to run. I used to be this runner who used to train twice a day, and I used to do up to sometimes 120 k's a week. And so my feet were quite sore after that week, okay? One year, by the way, I did 5,000 kilometers in a year. That is averaging, 5,200, averaging 100 k's a week. After that, my dad said, I think you need an oil change. And I did. But, you know, I was running like crazy, and I found my identity in my running because people in Stellenbosch would say, yes, you're Alistair the runner. They would place these labels on me. And it was nice because, you know, you feed the orphan spirit that says, yes, you know, my identity is in what I do, in my performance, in the recognition that I get from people. And God had to deliver me from that because I know what this is talking about because we can be so driven and so performance orientated. And it doesn't come from the heart of the Father. On the other hand, the adopted trusts that his father is in control of his career. And even if he is a toilet cleaner, he knows he's still loved by his father. Success to the adopted one does not lie in the world's perception, but in the father's knowledge of the son's faithfulness. Number six, the orphan thinks that the father only wants him to work all the time, slaving away. Whereas the adopted knows that he's called to work with his father. His father gives him an assignment and entrusts his inheritance to him. And this excites him more than it pressurizes him. Let's be honest, many times in church, it's like we serve or we do stuff under a pressure thing, like we have to serve now, you know. This is a house of service, so we have to serve. And if we don't do it under that place of adoption, we don't do it under the place of being a son in the house, we're at a dangerous place because it feeds the orphan spirit. Number seven, the orphan's joy is dependent upon natural circumstances. New clothes, next relationship, exciting stuff, the Bulls winning, successes and cheap thrills, okay? And we can escape to so many things. Whereas the adopted, on the other hand, understands his joy is not determined by the natural circumstances. His joy is founded on the Father's love for him and acceptance of him. He understands that only the Father can fill his deepest needs. This is important, number 8 now. The orphan has a hard time hearing a fellow friend or family member being praised or given recognition. He's sometimes jealous and insecure. And doesn't this often happen in church? Now, this happened to me a number of years ago. Before we went into the ministry, you know, I knew I was called by God, and I knew somehow I'm going to go into the ministry, whether it's full-time or part-time. But you know, this friend of mine, he was also at the time, felt the calling into ministry. And so we would joke with each other. We like waiting for the red telephone, the call from head office to say, go plant a church somewhere. So we would joked about the red telephone that's going to phone, and it's going to be the call, and let's go. And then when I was excited and he was excited. And then when I next saw this guy's on the preaching roster for Stellenbosch, he's preaching in the main church in Stellenbosch. And I'm like, but what about me? Where's my turn to preach in Stellenbosch? And the Lord so challenged me and said, but what's this? Why, is there jealousy, Alistair? And maybe. Of course there is. Let's start to deal with it. And so I made an effort to bless this guy. I said, Lord, I don't want this in my life. Where's this coming from? It's a terrible feeling because you're going to strive and you think, but how can I get there? And this guy's like running ahead of me and I'm actually older than him and where's my turn? And so you get this orphan spirit and you just think you're so insecure now. So can't celebrate this guy. And I had to make a concerted effort. The Lord started to speak to me and said, you celebrate his breakthrough. You go to him and you bless him. You say to him, that was an awesome sermon. See, the orphan many times doesn't want to celebrate with others, whereas the adopted on the other side understands and operates out of a place of honor for other people, calls out the greatness and praises in others, doesn't need anyone to praise him because his worth is determined by his father. And even if he doesn't receive what is promised, he will still trust in his father's character and not in his gifts. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we run after the gifts just so that we can feed ourselves, you know, that we can be seen and we can be the man of power for the hour. Or the woman of power. I just want to say, ladies, this evening, please, I'm speaking to girls and guys. The sonship thing is not about a guy. Just turn to someone next to you and say, this is not a guy thing. Okay? You see, the orphan, number 9, is often jealous of the success of others. He doesn't like it when others... he likes it when others fail because sometimes it makes him good about his own shortcomings. Isn't that true with sometimes we see someone else failing and we're almost like excited about it? Oh, it's so cool. Someone else is also failing. Let's celebrate the failure together, you know? And that's what the Spirit does. Whereas the adopted, on the other hand, is committed to the success of others, seeing others go much further than they can. His view of success is determined by the Father. Number 10, the orphan serves to earn the Father's love, always earning out of a place of insecurity. Is the Father really in love with me? Does he love me? Does he believe in me? And you serve and you be a slave in your Father's house instead of being like the adopted who serves out of a knowledge of the Father's love. You see, I heard this quote once and it goes like this. It says, when you put an orphan or a slave in a palace, he will start to run that palace like a prison. But when you put a son, an adopted son or a prince in a prison, he will run the prison like a palace. And so many times we operate out of the place of the orphan spirit and we can be put in the greatest environment and I can tell you that environment will become like us. And you can be a son and you can be put in the worst environment. You will make that environment like yourself, like a son. You will make it to glorify the Father's heart. And that's why I believe God doesn't want orphans in his kingdom, amen? That is why Jesus died for us, that we can be sons in his house. But how do we do that? Let's look at how do we become adopted sons? How do we become adopted? What did this younger son, and I want to say this evening that the younger son is the one that turned. So there's a third son here. It's called the righteous son. You've got the rebellious son, the religious son, and then the righteous son, who's the religious one or the rebellious one who became righteous. And unfortunately, there was no place for repentance for the older son. But I want to say tonight that if you're a religious son in the house, just like me, and I'll share my testimony now. I'll share a little bit more of my own life, but whether you're a religious son or whether you're a rebellious son, there's place for repentance. There's place for God to restore you. Unfortunately, in this story, both had the choice, but only one chose. And I think it's just a sign of us as people. You'll always get the group that will choose for God, and you'll get the group that chooses against God. It's the choice. The one robber on the cross chose for Jesus, the one rejected. But I want to say tonight, because of Jesus Christ, there's freedom for whether you're rebellious or religious. Let's look at how the guy did it. How did he come to this realization? His life was a mess. He realized, hey, he had wasted all his possessions. He's come to the place where he's in the pigsty, hasn't even got food to eat. And he starts with a realization, hey, listen here, things aren't so cool anymore. That's where it starts. That's where adoption starts, when you realize that your life is not so kosher as it can be. It's not as free as it could be because you're running your own life. Number two, he considered his slave, the father's slaves. He thought, but how is this possible? My father's slaves are in a better place than I am. Isn't that a testimony of our father's heart? His heart is good to everyone. Whether you're a slave or a son, the father blesses everyone. In the father's house, there's abundance. The father loves everyone. And so that was a testimony. The son realized, hey, in my father's house, there's more than enough. What am I doing here in the pigsty? What am I doing here suffering? I am going to turn around and go back to my father. He considered it and he decided to do it. Number three, what did he do? He repented. Turn around. He didn't only decide to do it. He actually went and did it. How many of us have good intentions, but it's not followed by actions? He actually repented, and it's interesting to see. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. In other words, I've sinned against God and in your sight. And you know, when we repent, when we have done something wrong towards people and towards God, what do? We repent towards God and towards people. Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against the Father in heaven, and I've also sinned against you. Repent towards people and repent towards God. If someone has done something wrong to you, you forgive. But if you have done something wrong, if you have hurt your father, if you have wronged someone else, you need to repent against God or towards God and towards the person that you've hurt. You see, it's amazing. Our God understands us as sinful people. Isn't that amazing? Our God's heart is understanding. And you know why many times we struggle to repent? Because we're so fearful of God. He's going to knock us over the head now. He's going to take us out. Because suddenly we've come out in the open. No, no, no. He knows it anyway. But when you come out in the open, it sets you free. And so that's what the son did. He realized, hey, I'm going to run to my father and repent. I want to say tonight, the Father understands us as sinful people. The other day, now we do the braai thing there in Bloemfontein. So I'm cleaning my braai, getting it ready for a braai. And so I mess some of the ash in the Weber, that little pan underneath, mess a lot of ash on the stoop at our house. And yeah, my little son, he's riding on his bike. And so he's watching the situation now. And there's this pile of ash there. He's on his bike now. And I said to him, listen, yeah, just wait. I'm going to get a bucket and take some water and clean this ash off, because this is going to cause a lot of mess in our house and all over the place. So you just wait there. But I can see he's sitting there seeing there's an opportunity here. But he's just waiting. He's patient. He's waiting at this pile of ash on his bike. And I said to him, listen, yeah, do not ride through that pile of ash. And he's like, just sits there. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm sure he's going to listen to me now. Going to get the water. And I'm got the water and I'm ready to, and then I just see this nice bicycle track right through the middle of this pile of ash. And I look at him and I say to him, did you ride through that pile of ash? And he's like, yes. And I say, did you deliberately disobey me? And he says, yes. And I said to him, was it nice? And he says, yes. And you know, I'm like going to get the wooden spoon out and I'm going to now discipline him. And the father just speaks to me and says, this is my heart towards you. I understand you. Now you know how I feel about you as sinful people and you as a sinful person. And I'm like getting all religious now. I'm going to now discipline him because he's disobeyed me. And the father just gives me a sense of humor. And I just laugh with him and I say, son, you're actually quite funny. And it's just amazing how God is working in my heart of this thing and understanding the Father's heart, because I've got my own children. Understanding that God understands us as sinners. We can come to Him with our sinful natures, with our weaknesses, repent and turn around and say, God, I'm sorry. And then what did the father do? He received his son, and the son's busy repenting. He's halfway through his repentance. He hasn't even finished what he decided to say. And the father says, listen, yeah, stop. Bring the fatted calf. Let's have a party. You're my son again. I've restored you already because I can see your heart is right. And I don't hear any, I don't read any other word from that son. I just see a receiving of his inheritance, of his full adoption as a son again. There was a ceremony. There was a celebration. How many of us struggle sometimes to receive our adoption as sons? And then number five, I see the son walking in his identity, having that ring on his finger, knowing the full authority and having the robe of righteousness and of his identity, having his authority, having his destiny, the sandals on his feet, knowing where he's going. He walked in it as an adopted son, as a righteous son. Galatians 4 says the following. I'm almost done. Now I say that the heir, Paul writing, and he says that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all, but he's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. You see, whether you're a slave or a son in a house, before the appointed time, they're exactly the same. The son cannot inherit. He's just like a slave. He might as well say, okay, I'm a slave. I can just be a slave in the house because I'm getting my inheritance now. I'm going to have to wait until the appointed time. And Paul is saying it's the same with you. When you were under bondage to the world, you were not a slave. I mean, you were a slave, you were not a son. But when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, this is what happens. He's born of a woman, born under the law. He came to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive, what? The adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That is why Jesus Christ died, to give us this adoption. Isn't that amazing? The heart of the Father, portrayed in Christ, sent his Spirit. And while I was preparing for this, God took me back to my own testimony. Because I was born again in Standard 7. I was 15 years old. It was now almost 22 years ago. Can you believe it? 1992. 19th of March, on my birthday, I was born again, and I knew I was going to heaven. But I made that commitment, not in a church family. I made that commitment in my own hostel bed. No one around me. Everyone else is having quiet time, doing their own thing. I'm praying this prayer, writing my name in the little Bible I got. And I knew I was saved, but for 9 years, I walked as an orphan. The Lord reminded me and said, you know what, when you were born, unfortunately, it wasn't your fault, but there was no one to disciple. You were born like this little baby who's born and just left there to stagnate and just mean nothing. Unfortunately, God was always there, but you know, I didn't have any people around me. I went to a traditional church. I didn't grow. I can't say I grew. Prayed prayers every night, and I came to a point in my life, at the end of my student life, I felt, I don't know God anymore. Praying to the roof. Doesn't feel like I know God. And then the Lord took me to this amazing place. Shofar. Thank you, Jesus, for Shofar. And I'm so pleased about Shofar. That's why I love this church, because this church helped me to understand my adoption as a son. And I came to a small group, and these guys had the Holy Spirit. They were so full of the Spirit, and I thought, this is what I want. And to cut a long story short, I got baptized, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I felt God saying to me, you're going to bear fruit. You're now my adopted son. And it's not like God didn't say it when I got saved, but no one told me about the Holy Spirit. I never had the Holy Spirit. I could never testify about Jesus. I knew Jesus, and he was up there somewhere, and I prayed to him. But I didn't have the adoption until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 says, these are the sons of God. Because I can't say I was a son until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It says here, you're only a son when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. How many people in this nation have fear now? And they call themselves Christians. But how many people are filled with fear? Filled with bondage. But it says you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then this big if again. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's a whole sermon on its own. Verse 19 says, the earnest expectation of the creation is eagerly waiting for us as children of God. God, the creation is eagerly expecting us as children to stand up and say, God is great. And it's just amazing to worship with you guys tonight and to be in the house of God where we exalt God and say, God, you're great. You're awesome. Because the creation is waiting, and I don't want the stones to cry out. I want to cry out that Jesus is Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit needs to get hold of you. And the other day, Esther and I went to a spa just outside Bloemfontein and went for this amazing treatment. You know, it starts with a foot massage and this nice hot water. Now it's cold in Bloemfontein, okay? It's like 10 to 15 degrees outside. And this is in the middle of the day. And we're like there. And it's this beautiful, warm environment. And you have your feet massaged and this beautiful, warm water. And then you go and have something to eat to fill the hunger. Then you go and lie on the bed and you get this full body massage and you come out of there a different person. You come out of there changed. Sean can't wait for his one, eh? But praise the Lord for my wife. She really blessed us. But you know, it's like when the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, he massages those feet that have been working so hard and striving away, slaving away. He comes to renew your mind, all your thoughts of fear and bondage, and he comes to give your body just that renewed excitement for God and for his kingdom. You come out a changed person when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because why? The creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God. Last scripture before I finish. This is something that I feel I need to say to us, because many times, you know, life happens and it's a challenge as a Christian many times. And then we operate we're suddenly sons and we're excited about our sonship, and then suddenly the hardship hits. The challenges come. And then we go back to our old life. We go back to the orphan spirit again and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. But listen to what Hebrews 12 says. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastises every son whom he receives. And you see, as Christians, many times we go through discipline, we go through tough times. And I'm not talking now about sin, willfully sinning, because then you should repent of that. But many times we go through tough times and God is just disciplining us. But what do? We default back to the orphan there, feeling sorry for ourselves again. You know, let's all get isolated and cry our cries and then we come back again. And God says, no, stay in the house. When you're going through a tough time, you're going through the discipline of God, stay with the family of God, because it's God who's disciplining you. If you weren't a son, he wouldn't discipline you. So thank him that you're a son, but thank him that there's change happening in your life. And I had to go through this a couple of years ago where I wasn't really obedient to what God wanted from me, and God used people in my life to speak things, and sometimes things were spoken over me that shouldn't have been, and I could have easily started, and I wanted to justify myself. Yes, no, but I'm this can't, you know. Then you want to go against the person and say, how can they say things about me? And this is not real. This was real to me. And then the Lord just said, you know what? Just be meek now. Don't justify yourself. Allow God to discipline you. Because there is stuff in your own heart that God is exposing, that I'm exposing, says the Lord. But many times we want to justify it and get into the orphan mentality again, and, you know, badmouth that person, because and then you start to see all their faults and wrong them and everything. And the Lord says, you know, I'm just disciplining you. Don't act like an orphan now. Act like a son, because you're a son in my house. It is for discipline that you have to endure, God says. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. I would rather be a child and a son in the house of God than be illegitimate. But I want to encourage you, when you go through the discipline of God, receive it as a son. Don't go back to the orphan mentality. Don't go and let the devil start to steal from you and say, oh, look at you. You're not really a son. You failed. And then all the lies and all the accusations come against you. So in summary tonight, The younger son represents the selfish heart. The older son represents the slavish heart. The adopted son represents the servant heart. The younger son abides out there in the far country. The older son abides out in the field. The adopted son abides in his father's house. The younger son works for, and says, "Father, you must work for me. Give me everything. You work for me." The older son says, "I better work for my father. I'm not sure if my father loves me." Whereas the adopted son works with his father. The younger son, all he wants is his inheritance. The older son, all he wants is a skinny little goat. The adopted son, all he wants to do is to serve his father. You see, the younger son represents man's way of getting away from God. It's called rebellion. The older son represents man's way of trying to get to God. It's called religion. The adopted son represents God's way of getting to God. See, God wants to restore us as his people, friends. He wants to restore us as his adopted children. I believe tonight some of us need to come home. I believe some of us need to say, "God, I want to come home because I've been slaving away. And I'm not sure that I'm a son. I've been doing it out of slavery and out of religion and out of duty." But I believe God wants us to come home tonight, some of us. Some people have rebelled, some are religious. But I want to say tonight, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Didn't only die, he rose again from the dead, went to sit at the Father. And you know what he sent us? He sent us his spirit of adoption. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. Only by the Holy Spirit can we become adopted sons. Why? Why, Alistair? Why am I saying all these things? The ultimate purpose is for us to become fathers. And I believe this nation needs fathers. And that's not talking about men, you know, men and women separately. It's talking about men and women, fathers and mothers. People who can shepherd the people of God in this nation. And I believe God is going to send orphans to this church. I believe he wants you guys, a Shofar in Pretoria, to become fathers and mothers for many orphans. And I also just sense the Lord wants you to adopt someone even before they become saved. How do you do that? You just build relationship. You love people. You speak into their lives. And don't just expect them to get saved and then you'll love them. No, love them before they get saved. Adopt them so that Christ can eventually adopt them when they choose. But let's build relationship with people. Let's be fathers and mothers. But before we can do that, it's a tall order. Because you do it for a while and then you get tired. Why? Because you're doing it out of the slave mentality. But if we do it out of sonship, when we know who our Father is, you know, God is going to use us mightily. God is going to bring orphans in. And I believe it's for our, I believe it's for our region even. And for all the Shofar churches and for all churches supposed to become fathers. God wants us to be fathers to many people. But first we must understand our own sonship, our own identity in Christ. And knowing the Father's heart. So this evening, the band can come forward now, but I'm not gonna call you forward this evening. I know we almost short of time for this first service. But I want you to find yourself right now a prayer partner, someone that you can pray with. And I want you to share your heart with this person. I want you to share, and we're gonna sing this song. I want us to sing this song again of "We Won't Be Afraid," but only once we've prayed. Okay, so the band is going to get ready and Sarah Ann's going to lead us in worship again with that song of "We Won't Be Afraid," because I believe we need to declare it. But we can only declare it when we say, "God, we repent of our orphan mentality many times. We repent of fear and of having this struggle, this striving, this performance thing." On some levels, some of us are religious. So we're serving in church even. We're serving God out of this, trying to earn his approval. Some of us are running away. We've run away from God and God's calling us home again. We've run away from intimacy with him. We've run away from hearing his voice again, hearing his approval on our lives, that he's happy with you. You can just run back to him. Just come back to him. But he's going to ask you to come back. He's asking you to come home again tonight. So I want us to pray with in groups of two. If you've got someone, I want everyone to pray with someone. If you don't have anyone to pray with, please, Sean can pray with you at the front. I would love to pray for you afterwards as well. I want you to pray with a person. I want you to tell the person next to you, "Listen here, this is what I'm struggling with. This part of this religious spirit is killing me. This rebellious stuff is in me. I'm always rebelling against authority. I'm always rebelling against God's purposes for my life. It's so difficult for me to just run with God's purposes for my life." So I want you to pray together now. And I'm going to just pray for you. But I want you to find someone right now before I pray for you. I want to find someone that you can pray with. Has everyone got a partner? You're going to just turn to that person. You're going to share what's on your heart just for a few minutes. And then afterwards, we're going to sing the song. We're going to declare that we're not going to be afraid because God is for us. God is with us and He's our Father, okay? So Lord, this evening, I want to thank You for Your people here this evening. I want to thank You that You want them to receive that adoption as sons and daughters in Your house this evening. I pray right now, Lord, for hearts to repent, for hearts to turn back, to become adopted and to become righteous in Your house. In Jesus' name. I pray for the grace, Lord, to be honest and to come to that place of realizing where they are, Lord. Realizing the shortcomings. Realizing where they're many times jealous of other people. Many times cannot celebrate other people. But I thank You that You come to restore that right now. In Jesus' name. You just pray with the person next to you. You share what's on your heart. Pray for those things and then just repent before God. Repent before the Father just for 5 minutes or so. And once we've done that, we can just declare again that we are His sons. And you pray, if the person doesn't feel they're adopted, you pray for the other person. Say, Holy Spirit, come upon this person. And you must receive the Holy Spirit tonight as the Spirit of adoption. Amen. Let's do that.
Power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.